quite excited this morning. The Lord is obviously running a golden thread through what His message is. And He's empowering His people. Who's had a very, very easy couple of weeks lately? Behalve Albert. Ons ken al vir Albert. Albert has an easy time. It's probably because he's married to Dominique. I'm not sure. It's probably that. But he's always in a good space. But for the rest of you guys, who's had an easy couple of weeks? Okay, great. Not a tough crowd at all. Who's had a challenging couple of weeks, 3-4 weeks lately? Evidently the rest of us. Praise God. But what did George say? We are maturing. Yes. We are overcomers. Amen. Maturing overcomers, or overcomers to mature. I'm not sure which way around, but it will be done by love. So the Lord is faithful. Let's quickly close our eyes before I want to share the word this morning. Father God, have your way. May our faith not be built on my words, but your spirit and power. But may this word not be something that tickle our ears and we go off and just do life again. But may it be a seed of Christ Jesus that bears much fruit in Jesus' name. May things shift and change where necessary. May mountains end up in the sea where necessary. And may we be encouraged. May we be empowered through love Himself, to live the fullness of the life that He has for all of us, and not only individually, but for every family as well, and for this congregation, in Jesus' name. Have your way this morning, Lord. In Jesus' name. Amen. I can't do much of a recap this morning because we don't have much time, but evidently there is a war at hand often for us as believers, and it's not a walk in the park. Or at least, it's one that you need to hold onto Jesus' hand pretty tightly, because the park is quite rough. But He's faithful, and I've just seen how He's so faithful the last couple of weeks in my life. Man, I've been through the fire, as I said, but He's so faithful. And so He encouraged us a couple of weeks back that Christ is for us. Love is for us. And as He came way back to destroy the works of the enemy, still to the day, Christ is busy with His work of destroying the works of the devil in your life. And not only that, He will fulfill His mandate. We had a look at Isaiah 61, seeing that He will restore our hearts. He will bring freedom. He will bring back identity. He will give us beauty instead of ashes, joy instead of mourning. And so He's still to the day, through His Holy Spirit, doing all of that in your life, if you let Him, to fulfill the mandate of Isaiah 61. But not only that, He's been calling all of us to be conduits, to be tools, to be donkeys in His hands, to be used so that other people may also taste such freedom. And that's why we gathered here this morning. Yes, it's good to have fellowship and get into His presence to be changed, but also to be impacted, as George said, to go and do it and have and extend a hand to other people. Because if you think, as the body, that sometimes life is a bit tough, even though you walk with the answer inside of you, even though you've got the word of the Lord, even though the empowerment of the Holy Spirit is upon you, just think how broken and lost the world out there is without Christ. And so the heart is not that we meander, that we just chill it out, that we struggle all through our life, every single decade. No, but there needs to come with times of maturity when we say, yes, I'm still a work in progress, but praise God, I can go speak into other lives. I can be part of the beautiful plan of Christ, having to destroy the works of the enemy in other people's lives. I'm just so thankful for what the Lord has done in my life the last 14, 15 years, but I'm much more excited for what He will do through my life and our lives. And so we've declared for 2 weeks in a row, for the Spirit of the Lord God is upon us, for He has anointed us, called us, set us apart. Do you still believe that? I'm not saying do you always feel that. You don't necessarily always feel that, but we do believe it and take it by faith, and then we'll see the fruit to come. Now, today's message, I believe, goes down that line. It's again Christ coming, destroying the works of the enemy, a good Father coming through love, and constantly through acts of love, weapons of love, destroying the works of the enemy so that we can be people that are free, not only for ourselves, but also through us for other people. And today's message is very simply the following: weakness can be a weapon. Have you ever seen a dog that's confused? none of you did that, so praise God. I just thought of it myself, staring there. If a dog gets confused, it goes like, tilts his head. It's almost like when I tell people I was a lawyer and now I'm a pastor. They go like, it just doesn't compute. But weakness is a weapon in the kingdom of God, if it's for the kingdom of God. Who of you, might be one or two, not a lot, who of you have got weaknesses? Hallelujah! Yes! A people of need. Yes, this is a bit of a hospital. I know. And I'm the biggest patient. Praise God. But weakness can be a weapon in the kingdom of the Lord. And I had to learn that the hard way again, and I will probably do so in the future. But again, I had to come to that conclusion, just that by love and through love, weakness, whatever it is in your life, can become a weapon. Now, just before we run off, please don't hear today that if the weakness is sin or if it is an iniquity, an habitual sin or iniquity, that the Lord is saying, yet that weakness is fine, it can be a weapon if you stay in that. That is definitely not what I'm saying. In Jesus' name, that is not what I'm saying. But if it is there, and God honestly works in it, that He can bring redemption, He can bring fulfillment, and then He can use that hurt, or He can use that thing, that trauma, that whatever it was, He can use for His kingdom's sake, after taking us out of it. All right. So just to make sure that we don't miss each other on that very, very small little point. Weakness can become strength in love. Weakness can become strength in love. Amen? Who's ever seen that in their life? Amen. It's like an alcoholic, not staying an alcoholic, but the Lord redeeming a person, not to be afflicted with that pain anymore, leaving that behind, but then not stopping there, but moving on to be able to speak into the youth's lives. It's not a weakness where we say, no, it's fine. It's fine that you keep the weakness. You just not drink on Sundays and you can sing in the church choir. No, that's not freedom. It's one where God brings redemption. But then He goes and He brings forth the working in other people's lives. A prostitute coming from the streets, not staying in that and moving into something else, but no, the Lord bringing absolute liberation and freedom and restoration and knowing the worth of the person and then being able to spot and call out the worth in other ladies' lives. Amen. For what is the weakness in our lives that the Lord wants to bring to be a weapon? First point there on the board is love perfects all. Now we heard that this morning, we sang that. But do you believe that love can perfect all? I'm going to ask that again. Do you believe that love can perfect all? Have you ever faced a challenge or a mountain where that seemed like not the obvious answer? Well, you've obviously done so. Yeah, we all have hit mountains or walls where you think, Lord, I'm not even sure if you, but He can. The thing is that we in this culture, the culture has actually a bit of an upside down thinking to the way of the Lord. And so quickly read with me. It's my own words, so please don't take me to the stake for that. But that's more or less what I've seen. Mostly in this world, perfection is fleshly. Power is constant oppression. Big should be seen. It's not big if it's not seen. Loud is true or truth. How louder you can shout, the more true your statement is. Nobody married you? Okay, cool. I'm joking. Pride is powerful. Humility is weakness. Beauty is skin deep. Meekness is scoffed at. Momentary satisfaction outweighs eternal life. And Psalm 12:8, I love it, catches the heart so beautifully. It says, the wicked wander everywhere, and what is worthless is exalted by the human race. Oh, that I must say, that verse always hits me in the gut. But I kind of like it. It's weird. The wicked wander everywhere, and what is worthless is exalted by the human race. And so the flip side is also true. Likewise, then, what is worthy is ridiculed and mocked. What we value as believers, as followers of Jesus Christ, the man that was naked, hang on a cross, what we follow is mocked by this world and the spirit of this world. And so also all of the other things that we do, what we believe and what we follow. The kingdom where we come from, things look different. Big is small and small is big. Value is useless in this world, but it's valued in heaven. And likewise, weak is strong and strong is weak. And you'll have that in business. You'll have that socially. You'll have that all over, where weakness is strength and strength is weakness in this world. Big is small and small is big. Lots is less and less is lots. You can go on and on and on. And so we sit with this bit of an anomaly that we need to constantly figure out and remind ourselves that we are a heavenly people. That our kingdom is not here. That we're not meant to think like that. That we call to be people of faith. It's so beautiful how George put that last year. Seemed very easy in the world sense because there was so much more. Now, I'm going to say God is a God of lack. That's not the case. But God is a God of faith. And nothing impresses God like faith. Your bank account has never impressed God. Huh? I did a reverse takeover as a lawyer, and it was a couple of million, and I felt so chuffed at working, and I didn't even spearhead the deal. I was just like the spanner. I just gave the spanners on in this deal. But it was a couple of million. I was so chuffed, and God just clearly put me in my place, saying, this is not big. Food for a child is big. The soul of a person, that's big. Salvation, now that's a biggie. And so we are challenged. I don't know where you work. I don't know what you do. Not all of you, at least. But we're also always challenged about the big and the small, the value and the worthless of this life. But love always has a plan. And so if we see weakness, love sees something different. Different, apologies. You might walk in here and saying, this, that, and the other is weakness in my life. Can be. But yet when submitted to love, man, he's got different plans. Who would like to hear love's plans for weakness? Who's excited about their weakness? Who's bold about their weakness this morning? Oh man, who wants to share? just a joke, but anyway. Let's go on. We don't have time for too many jokes. 1 Corinthians 13 says, love does not rejoice in iniquity, but rejoices in truth. Bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, endures all things. Endures all things. Love never fails. Let me repeat that. Love never fails. Love never fails. Who's love again? God, Jesus, yes. 1 John 4:8 at the end says, because God is love. Love never fails. Who never fails? God never fails. Never. Yeah, but no buts. Whatever the weakness is in this context, I want to declare, God never fails. God never fails. God never fails. I just see in some of our lives, there's voices from your past shouting at you. I just declare in that Jesus' name, be quiet to those voices. In Jesus' name, be quiet. God never fails. Voices of weakness of the past, be quiet in Jesus' name. Isaiah 40:29 says, he gives strength to the weary and increases the power of the weak. Man, how sweet that was in this season. He gives strength to the weary and increases the power of the weak. Love makes weakness a weapon. And we know that it's by grace and grace alone. Now, what is weakness? You can go to the next slide, please. Weakness means the following. Means the state or condition of being weak. Fragile, feeble, imperfect, blemished, flawed, and without strength. Who has ever been weak in this place? Hallelujah. Yes, yes. Yes. Albert? Never. Let go of the bag, my friend. Let go of the bag. Now, we've all had those moments, and in fact, some of us, it's quite permanent. Thank you, Lord. Means the state of condition of being weak, fragile, feeble, imperfect, blemished, flawed, and without strength. I want to tell you this morning, guys, as Christians. There is no such thing as weakness amongst us. There is, but hear my thinking. It's merely a case of misplaced trust. It is merely a case of misplaced trust. If my focus is on me and my weakness, yes, then for sure, that is the case. But if it is no longer a thief who lives, but Christ who lives in him, and if I've been baptized, in other words, I died and I was resurrected with Christ again, and it is no longer I live, my trust, my shift, my awareness is upon him. It is not a weakness. Yes, it is a weakness if I try to figure it out, if I try to sort it out, if I try to get myself out of it. But yet when I know that the biblical truth is that I'm a new creation, and by the way, we're not ignoring issues. We're not sweeping it under the carpet. We're just coming with the truth of the Word of God. And if I say, yes, in spite of weakness. Yeah, sorry. Misplaced trust. Praise God, he won't spit on you, Johan. If I shift my focus and say, in spite of, I trust him, that weakness cannot hold me back. That weakness cannot hold us back from being overcomers, kingdom builders, heaven seeing earth manifest on earthers. Yeah, amen. Misplaced trust. Weakness is a seed for strength when in the hands of love. And I repeat, when in the hands of love. My weakness is not such a great thing if it's in my hands. Your weakness is not such a great thing if it's in my hands either. But weakness is a seed for great strength when in the hands of love. Amen? Amen? I think we do not have weakness in our midst. We just have misplaced trust. And yes, when we run into weakness, we just need to say, Christ, how can I shift my focus, my trust upon the full work of the cross, being a new creation in the Lord, and then living out that. And seeing how he redeems, take away iniquity, take away issues, etc. Let's quickly look at a guy who needed much of this. At Men's Monday, in a deep, intense moment of intercession and prayer and worship on Monday night, the Lord just said to, I just dropped in my spirit, and I don't know for who it is, but just, it's a season of Gideon. It's a season of Gideon. It's a season of Gideon. And I just kept on repeating that, it's a season of Gideon. And that just inspired my heart. Might also inspire yours. But we're going to run through lots of scripture, so please buckle up, please hold on, please don't get lost, because there's lots of good stuff in here. I tried to leave out lots, but I couldn't. So we're going to read through a lot. Who knows the story of Gideon? Amen. Who likes to know more of Gideon? Great stuff. Judges 6, let's go. The Israelites did evil in the eyes of the Lord, and for 7 years he gave them into the hands of the Midianites. Because the power of Midian was so oppressive, the Israelites prepared shelters for themselves in the mountains, mountain cliffs, caves, and strongholds. Now, remember when we read stuff in the Old Testament where God did amazing things in the natural, it often speaks of a spiritual truth in the New Covenant dispensation. All right, so what I'm saying here is this could be the equivalent of the thing in your life that really bugs you down, the thing that is chasing you. What is that sin, that iniquity, that thing that's just constantly in your neck, trying to steal, and you have to hide away in caves. You don't walk in freedom. You don't live in freedom. So you can use this analogy, you can use the scripture just to think in your life. It need not be people that physically chase you and you need to hide. Where, unfortunately, in South Africa, that is sometimes true, but we're going to trust God change that. But it can be an emotional, spiritual thing that the enemy is constantly bogging you down. Let's go on. Verse 3. Whenever the Israelites planted their crops, the Midianites, Amalekites, and other eastern people invaded the country. They camped on the land and ruined the crops all the way to Gaza and did not spare a living thing for Israel, neither sheep nor cattle nor donkeys. They came up with their livestock and their tents, like swarms of locusts. Who's ever had the enemy in your life? It felt like swarms of locusts. Just overwhelming. We all have been in those battles. Amen. So this can speak to our hearts. Who's ever thought, well, here's some fruit in my life, and boom, there the enemy comes and steals the fruit. And the donkeys. Who steals donkeys? Well, the enemy steals donkeys. That's just weird. It was impossible to count them or their camels. They invaded the land and ravaged it. And so very often, spiritually, emotionally, this happens in our lives. Ravaged by the enemies. But what? George said, we are
Amen. So we're going to go there. Midian, so impoverished, the Israelites, that they cried out to the Lord for help. Just look at that humble moment. Lord, help, please. It took 7 years, though. How often it takes 7 years in our lives. Let's move on to verse 11. The angel of the Lord came and sat down under the oak at Ophrah that belonged to Joash, that guy, where his son Gideon was threshing wheat in a wine press to keep it from the Midianites. So he was actually hiding the wheat in the wine press because the enemies were so on them. Crazy. When the angel of the Lord appeared to Gideon, he said, "The Lord is with you, mighty warrior." Or the other translation says, one that you all know, "The Lord is with you, O mighty man of valor." You can move on, thank you. "Pardon me, my Lord," he says, wrong number. No, thank you. You know, if Cell C and Telkom phoned you the whole time, do you want to buy this? He just said, apparently you've got the wrong number, it's not me. Thanks, I've got a contract. And it doesn't look that good. "Pardon me, my Lord," Gideon replied, "but if the Lord is with us, why has all this happened to us?" Some of us have been in that place. Like, "Lord, how can this be if you are for us? Where are all these wonders that our ancestors told us about when they said, 'Did not the Lord bring us out of Egypt?' But now the Lord has abandoned us and given us into the hand of Midian." The Lord turned to him and said, "Go in strength." As he's saying to us today, "Go in strength. You have saved Israel out of Midian's hand. Am I not sending you? Pardon me, my Lord," a second time. Imagine that. Gideon replied, "But how can I save Israel? My clan is the weakest in Manasseh." So Israel gets swamped, they get slaughtered, and they've got a small speck there that his family, and he's part of that family, and he's actually hiding wheat. So you get the picture. "Go in strength." Moving on. "Pardon me, my Lord," Gideon replied, "but how can I save Israel? My clan is the weakest." Going on to verse 16. "The Lord answered, 'I will be with you, and you will strike down all the Midianites, leaving none alive.'" You can go on, please. And then, just quickly, Gideon then actually asked for, we don't have time, but he asked for more confirmation. So he questions God twice, then he asks for a confirmation, putting out a fleece and another confirmation. God confirms the whole time, just, "I'm with you, I'm with you." No, I'm joking, "I'm with you, I'm with you, I'm with you," the whole time. And he's just cool with it. It's just, "Unspan, ek is met jou. I know about the facts, but I'm with you." So he confirms the whole time, and then we go into Judges 7. Here's when it gets interesting. Then, let's call him Gideon, and all the people who were with him rose early and encamped beside the spring of Herod. And the camp of Midian was north of them by the hill of Moreh in the valley. The Lord said to Gideon, "The people with you are too many for me to give the Midianites into their hand, lest Israel boast over me, saying, 'My hand has saved me.'" It's like saying, "You live by great faith, but your salary is still too much. I'll take 2/3 away." Yeah, put that in context. Do you like that idea? Marina thinks it's funny. Willem is not laughing. Exactly. It's the weirdest thing, but God says, "No, no, 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 no. If you get this right, you'll say, 'My own hand has saved me.'" Now, if you go read Derek Prince's study on this, it's just beautiful how he made a couple of calculations. And you'll see that the Midianites were about 135,000 soldiers, And the Israelites started off with 32,000. God said, "Whoa, whoa, whoa, this is too much. They're 135,000. We're 32,000. God says, "No, no, chill, this is too much. You're going to be full of pride after this. Let's move on. "Now therefore, proclaim in the ears of the people, saying, 'Whoever is fearful and trembling, let him return home and hurry away from Mount Gilead.' Then 22,000 of the people returned and 10,000 remained." Just imagine that announcement. "Hey, Bianca, will you just quickly tell the people, those afraid, you can stay home?" It's like, how do you do that? Anyway. And so 22,000 people obviously heard that. And the Lord said to Gideon, you can move on. Thank you. Next slide. The people are still too many. Take them down to the water, and I will test them for you there. And any one of you whom I say to you, this one shall go with you, shall go with you. And anyone whom I say to you, this one shall not go with you, shall not go. So he brought them, the people, down to the water, and the Lord said to Gideon, everyone who laps the water with his tongue as a dog laps, you shall sit by himself. Likewise, everyone who kneels down to drink. Now, who would have liked that way of distinguishing soldiers from one another? And the number of those who lapped, putting their hands to their mouths, was 300 men. But all the rest of the people knelt down to drink water. Now, just quickly, what that means is, it's not they lapped down, like just drank out of a bowl like a dog. No, they actually went down on one knee, apparently. Went down on one knee, then scooped it up with their hands. Luckily, this translation says it. Scooped it up and then lapped like a dog out of their hands. Yet, the other guys, what is 10,000 minus 300, they all went down on both knees. In other words, putting down everything and then going down to drink out of the river. Now, what is this telling us? A very subtle thing. The one that is lapping is on one knee, still with his shield on one side, using the other hand to lap. In other words, he's looking up and he's constantly ready. In other words, his heart is in a place of where God's heart is and Gideon's heart is. In other words, here's a battle and we're busy with something. The other guys are just going down, putting down everything, going down hands and knees and drinking water. I'm not sure what I would have done, but reading the story, I hopefully would have been part of the 300. And so that is what they do. And the number of those who lapped, putting their hands to their mouths, verse 6, was 300. But all of the rest of the people knelt down to drink the water. And the Lord said to Gideon, with the 300 men who lapped, I will save you and give you the Midianites into your hand, and let all the others go, every man to his home. I'm not going to go on. We're not going to read the rest. He asks again. In fact, God this time preempts it. In fact, he says, if you do not trust me, please just go down to Phora. That guy had a dream about it, and you'll know. So even before he asks for another confirmation out of fear, God says, just go chat to him. And praise God in verse 14. And his comrade answered, this is no other than the sword of Gideon, the son of Joash, a man of Israel. God has given into his hand Midian and all his camp. And so they went off, these 300 men, they slaughtered and they killed the Midianites, and obviously they defeated them. Massive battle. Who would have loved to be there? Great, all three of us. Hallelujah. That makes sense. Just joking. Who's ever been in that situation where you're just totally outnumbered? If you do the math, it's 1 to 450. 1 to 450. Who's ever been in that situation? Who knows that God is in that situation? Who would like to be led by God into that situation? The wild crowd there at the back. Hallelujah. But so often, God is the one that is faithful when the odds are really stacked up against us. He remained faithful. Now, what is the things that we can learn from Gideon? He was honest. Gideon was really honest. He said, firstly, you've got the wrong number. This is not, do you know who I am? Do you know where I come from? This is really not me. This is not my calling. This is not my job. You've got it wrong. And so he started off. Then he asked for a couple of confirmations. Honestly, Lord, really? Are you serious, Lord? But yet, each and every time he was honest and got an answer from the Lord, he kept on being obedient. That for me speaks of not only of honesty, but also of humility. There was honesty saying, I can't. But yet if you tell me to reduce it by 22,000, yet if you tell me to reduce it to 300, I will listen to you. And so he was not only honest, he was obedient as well. And then lastly, what I see with him, he had a rightly placed trust. Yes, he acknowledged there was weakness. But his trust did not stay founded upon his weakness. It shifted to the Lord. There was no misplaced trust here, because in spite of, he went with 300 men to take on an army of over 100,000 men, as much as locusts. Let's move on. What is our inheritance and hope? As we sit here this morning, what is our inheritance and hope? Our inheritance and hope is the following. Weakness is just misplaced trust. That's the first thing. Weakness, whatever it is just misplaced trust. In a matter of time, in the Lord's hands, not in my hands, in the Lord's hands, for it to shift. Let's quickly look at Psalm 33, 16 to 22. No king is saved by great size and power of his army. The world and the flesh says, how big is your army? Scripture says, no man is saved by the great size and power of his army. In economical sense, the world says, a man is saved by a great bank account, lots of money, power and influence in the world. He is not eternally saved from the true battles and the wars of this life through that. I'm not saying it's all wrong. Please don't hear what I'm not saying. But I'm not saying misplaced trust is a problem. A mighty man is not delivered by his much strength. Let's not make any gym jokes now, hey? Who's the guys with the big puppies? Hey? Better not to see any. Nee, ek gaan nie in sy afwesigheid. A horse devoid of value for victory. Your horse. Who came with their horse? Okay. Your horse, nor your car, is the one that gives you strength. It's quite interesting. Our Werner at Survivor, he just said, it was so amazing when you take away the credit cards, the cars, and the things of people, how different you connect and bond with people. I just realized that's also a place that should be, by God's grace, what church should be. This is not your credit card. This is not your employment. This is not your culture even. This is not your race. This is not your car. This is not your house. This is not your bank account. That's just on the side. Moving on. Neither does he deliver any by his great power. Behold, the Lord's eye is upon those who fear him, who revere and worship him with awe, like Gideon did, who wait for him and hope in his mercy and loving kindness to deliver them from death and keep them alive in famine. Our inner selves wait earnestly for the Lord. He is our help and our shield. For in him does our heart rejoice, because we have trusted, relied on, and been confident in his holy name. Let your mercy and loving kindness, O Lord, be upon us in proportion to our waiting and our hoping for you. And so, very simply again, it just says, hey man, the world trusts in a bunch of stuff. You're not called to trust in that. You're called to trust in the Lord wholeheartedly. And that's what the Lord is saying to us this morning. Quick, a couple of examples just to stir our faith. Whose guys were in the Word, where their weakness was actually their strength, or in spite of weakness, they were so strong in the Lord? David. David was a shepherd's boy. Yeah, David was a shepherd's boy, smallest. They didn't even count him in the elections. He didn't even have a run or a campaign for the elections, yet he got chosen by the Lord. He had a couple of faults as well, as we know. And he danced in a weird way. Joseph, definitely. Weakness, lots of weaknesses. Maybe not all himself. His weakness was his circumstances. But I just thought about it in preparation. Just imagine Joseph. Rejection issues, seriously. Seriously, deep-rooted rejection. Yes, Joseph, we've been around this block for 12 years now, Joseph. Joseph, really, forgive your brothers again. Just keep on forgiving them. But the beauty of Joseph, and we might joke, but the beauty is he got rejected, he got sold, he almost got killed by his brothers, got imprisoned because of them. But such acceptance came through him. Acceptance of Israel. Provision for Israel. Acceptance of his own family. So out of his rejection came such great acceptance. The weakness, the area of absolute weakness and attack of the enemy in his life came one of beauty, salvation, and redemption. And he did not sit in countless hours of counseling necessary. But he took hold of what the Lord had done and the plan of the Lord, and it was very much strength to him and to Israel. Who else? What other guy? Esther, yes. Ruth, yes, I also thought of Ruth. Who else? Moses, definitely. Stutter.
Hey, lead a couple of 100,000 people with that stutter.
And then he was not only a stutterer, but he was also a murderer. Yeah. Imagine that. No, definitely. I'm going to get to Jesus. He's like the big example. So, Bianca, you're just too quick. Who else? Abraham. Yes. Yes. Yeah. Abraham had amper sy vrou verloor. And he listened to her as well. Ishmael. And so, out of that, a fatherless old guy came what? The father of nations. The father of faith. Who else? Peter. Yes, absolutely. Screaming away, and then all of a sudden, I want to say, preaching his heart out, standing up again. Modern day. Who's ever heard of Smith Wigglesworth? Got birth in England, Yorkshire in England, 1800s, late 1800s. And he was illiterate. He actually worked in the field with his mother and later on in factories just to keep his family that was impoverished, to keep them alive. He never studied, nothing. He became a plumber. And then the Lord touched his life. His wife was actually in missions. And out of that, one of the biggest, most amazing movements of the Lord came. He's just on fire evangelist, healing evangelist. And today I actually have a devotional book of him at my home, a daily devotional of a guy that never went to school, that had a hard life, absolute weakness. It's a strength that today I can just open up and have such amazing things speak into my life. Who's ever heard of Nick Vukicic? Yeah. No, it's not that. It's something else. But you know about no limbs, no arms, no hands. Evidently so, eh? Yeah. No arms, no hands. Yet his influence in this world is most amazing, and you should hear him preach the gospel. Weakness becoming such strength in the hands of the Lord. And then obviously as Bianca, well, who's remembered the disciples? What was that meme you saw the other day?
I just saw a meme. It was very funny where they say, "Have you ever seen Jesus' small group? They were the most dysfunctional mess."
So, any of the small group leaders, I just want to encourage you. Jesus had a dysfunctional mess as a small group that he started off with, but in their weakness, we are today still the evidence, the fruit and evidence of that strength of God through their weakness. The 300 men of the Lord that he went to choose. And then obviously Jesus, a carpenter's son, a son of God hanging on a cross. Ultimately, the son of God hanging on a cross. What weakness could we ever have imagined? The son of God hanging naked on a cross. Yet 1 Corinthians 15:43 says, thank you. It is sown in dishonor, it is raised in glory. It is sown in weakness, it is raised in power. Oh man, I want to ask you, what's your weakness? Let that seed go. If it's sown in weakness, it is raised in power. It might not happen overnight. Let me not dampen the atmosphere. It might not happen overnight, but if you wholeheartedly let go of the seed of weakness in our lives, I believe that scripture is also true, as it was with Christ. It is sown in weakness, it is raised in power. It is sown in natural body, it is raised in spiritual body. Also speaks for me of the baptism in Christ. If there is a natural body, there is also a spiritual body. Thus it is written, the first man, Adam, became a living being. The last Adam became a life-giving spirit. That's our inheritance, guys. So what is the lie and the accusation against you? What is the thing that you hold against yourself? What is the thing that the enemy is constantly putting against your head? What is it that you did not have that other people had? Culturally, upbringing, financially, emotionally. What stability did you not have that your neighbor might have had and that other guy in ministry might have had that you did not have? Have you read and listened to somebody like Joyce Meyer's testimony? Have you listened to Heidi Baker and Roland Baker's testimonies? Have you listened to Reinhard Bonke's testimony? If you go listen to these guys, they did not have it all sorted out. It's entrenched with lots of weakness, and much of these people had to start behind the, what is the starting line even. But yet in God's hands, like the 300 men of Gideon, He can bring forth much strength. What is the mountain that will become a valley through you in your life? Now, as I usually do, we're going to end off just with, you know the truth, we know the truth, we can see it through Scripture. We know that these beautiful and amazing examples in Scripture and today in life as well. But what can I do? How do I deal with this? How do I deal with this, Retief? Firstly, I said, acknowledge it is by grace and in Christ alone. Freedom, strength, redemption, sanctification of our weakness and our weak spots can only be done by grace. If ever there was a good season where I just needed to align myself and realize again, it is by grace and grace alone that I can do the work of ministry of the Lord, it has been in this season. And I'm thankful for it. Because sometimes in the season you're in, the things that He'll use to stretch you and the things that He'll use to challenge you with is so that you do not break down in the next season. What would have happened to Gideon if he said, no, 10,000 is enough, thank you, Lord. I've got this one. You've spoken to me enough. I'll take 10,000, thank you. That six love opale dinges. They would have lost hands down if he decided this is enough. No. Acknowledge it is by grace and by grace alone. Romans 8:26 says, likewise, the Spirit helps us in our weakness. Who helps you in your weakness? The Spirit. This is in connection with prayer. For we do not know what to pray for us as we ought, but the Spirit Himself intercedes with groanings, etc. You know that. Second thing we need to do, honest with yourself and with God. Gideon was honest. You can put up a nice religious face and say, yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. But inside, God knows what's cooking on your inside. And today, He knows you guys. He knows me. He knows what's cooking on the inside. Be honest. Being honest does not mean we stay there, we camp there, we forever live there. You're honest to change. You're not honest to stay. Amen? God's dealt with something in my heart that's been 30 years in my heart that He just dealt with in this last time. So the time is now right that He dealt with something, I thought. But I'm not going to camp there. I'm not going to stay there. But I needed some honest moments with the Lord. Honest with yourself and with God. Paul said the following, if I must boast, I will boast in the things that show my weakness. The world loves that. Hey, let's get bumper stickers. Would you like a bumper sticker like that on your double cab, George? Yeah, not today. No, but this is the truth that we call to live by. The God and Father of the Lord Jesus, He who is blessed forever knows that I am not lying. The third thing, if you hide it, love can't use it. My weakness. If I hide it and I keep that seed from the hands of love, God cannot use it. It's awfully quiet in here. We're finishing up, don't worry. If you hide it, love can't use it. Acknowledge and sow it. Remember, what I sow in weakness, we will reap in power. The Lord's power. 2 Corinthians 12:9 says, and He said to me, my grace is sufficient for you, for my power is made perfect in weakness. God's power is made perfect in weakness. Most gladly, therefore, I will rather glory in my weakness, that the power of Christ may overshadow me. Wow, how liberating is that? Going out into this world saying, His power is made perfect in weakness. Let's not have a moment, guys. Fourth thing, shift your trust. Let's not camp in our weakness. Let's not stay in our weakness. The Lord's going to redeem it and then He's going to use it. But you need to sow it. You need to give it. You need to trust Him. Let's not stay there. Let's shift our focus and say, yes, I can't. I am a mess without you. But I shift. I realign my trust in you, Christ Jesus, to finish the work that you've started. 2 Corinthians, we started off, we're just going to read verse 8 quickly. Three times I pleaded, that was about the thorn in his flesh with the Lord, and about this, that he should leave me. But he said to me, my grace is sufficient for you, for my power is made perfect in weakness. Therefore I will boast, he goes on, verse 10, for the sake of Christ then, I'm content in with my weakness, insults, hardships, persecution, and calamities. For when I'm weak, I am strong. We like that last part. I love quoting the last part, but there's more to the verses. The last thing, you can stand with me if you don't mind. And the last thing, the fifth thing that I've said that we can just take home. You can go to the next slide. The fifth thing is, give it time in love's hands. As I said, some of the stuff that he does in my life, he does very quickly. He's done years ago. But some other stuff, he took 30 years just to put his finger on something. But when he does it beautifully. And today I can say that weakness, that space, that place can become strength for the kingdom and the kingdom's sake. What are we going to do with the weaknesses, guys? Are we going to let it define us? Or are we going to use it as a seed so that it can define our God for the world? Will you take your hurt? Will you take the circumstances that you have? Maybe stuff that you didn't have, things that you longed you have now that you might see as a weakness. Can you shift the trust and say, Lord, I put this as seed in your hand. Wholeheartedly, not half of it, all of it. For in my weakness, your strength is made perfect. And it can reap fruit. That even as Gideon and his 300 men back against the wall, odds stacked up against them, can walk in and say, this is our God, and this is what he can do. Let's close our eyes. Father God, thank you that we can just bring this moment before you. Thank you, Lord, that we can be encouraged. That the burden and the yoke of being perfect can be cast from our shoulders. We throw off perfection of this world. We throw off the identities of this world. We throw off the performance of this world. We throw off the judgment and the shame of this world and this culture. And we put on Jesus Christ. Ha! For it is by grace alone that we may stand and can stand and will stand. And in our weaknesses we boast, not wanting to camp and stay there, but saying, the Lord will bring forth strength in this. For through love, weakness will become weapons. For through love, weakness will become weapons. Weapons. Weapons in Jesus' name. If there's any weakness in your life and you just realized this morning that there's been a misplaced trust, I've looked at figuring this out and doing this myself, sorting out myself, standing in God's way, just raise your hand as you say, Lord, I repent, and I just shift my trust and say that you will come and have your way. Thank you, Father. Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. Thank you, Father God, that we just shift and say that there will be no weakness, for we put it in your hands, and we know that you will turn it around, and you will use it as weapons. Thank you, Father, for that. Have your way in these lives that have just raised their hands, Father God, this morning. And then I want you to pray with me, just pray after me, just declaring, Father God, thank you that we can come together this morning to know that love makes weakness a weapon. As with Gideon, Lord, and all these people in the Word, we sow our weakness this morning into the hands of love. And we say, have your way. You are a good Father, the perfect Maker. And may your name be glorified through this. Have your way. In Jesus' name. Joel 3:10, it says, let the weak say, I am strong. And so this morning we come lastly and we just say, Lord, childlike, childlike, we are strong, for you are in us. And your Son paid the perfect price. We cannot add to it. We cannot take it away. He is the only way, truth, and life. And through your Son and the love of your Son, thank you that weaknesses in this congregation and even of this congregation will become weapons for the kingdom of God. In Jesus' name. And all God's people said, Amen. Amen.